Sunday morning, 8:23:20. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut, and the title of this is On the Altar. Okay, are you on the altar? You are destined to reign. That's what the Lord began this with. You are destined to reign. And our mission statement is Romans 5:17. This is what Romans 5:17 says. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. But only by grace can we enter into this reign. It's by grace. Notice that it is reigning in life, not reigning when we all get to heaven. Those who receive abundance of grace are the ones that will reign in life, plain and simple. You won't do it without grace. There is no reign without grace. None. And getting a hold of that concept of God's grace, kind of like with God's love, is crucial in how you run your race, or if you run your race at all. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Those who receive abundance of grace. See, the first, the house church, or that when we started the house church, I remember the Lord giving me that scripture. He said, reigning in life. And my first radio, my radio program was reigning in life. And the first TV program was reigning in life. And the Lord said to me, abundance of grace. That's the name of this fellowship, abundant grace. Abundance of grace. That's what it's about. That's what's going to carry this work along, is the abundance of grace. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So all of it's by grace. And if it's not there, it won't happen. Period. It's a dead work without it. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're a new creation, it's not by your own making. This isn't religion. Religion is works. And there's lots of religious institutions. God's plan for us to be a work of grace from the beginning to the end. We must let grace complete the work in us. Time for us to get out of the way. As far as works, our works just impede progress. So I'm asking you, are you on the altar today? We'll qualify that, what it means. Romans 12. Shouldn't surprise you. The Lord's been leading us this way for a few weeks now. About change your thoughts, change your master, renewing your mind. 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants to work it in you. He does not want your works. I've been advised before, you know, you ought to get you a brochure made, or you ought to get, you know, make you a letter and send letters out and get speaking engagements. I mean, from preachers, that's what they do. That ain't no more what I'm supposed to do. But that's the way a lot of them do it. Or are you getting off the altar and instructing the Lord? What I ought to do is be doing better by now. Well, Lord, this just ain't right. I ought to have more than I have. It ought to be this way, Lord. It ought to be this way by now. I'm just real mad today. Sound familiar? Huh? I heard it. I heard it coming both directions, three directions. They ought to be doing this. They ought to be doing that. See, this is God's work in us. That's what grace is. It's just like us going a certain place and trying to fit in and think this is the way God's going to do it, because we were religiously trained and that's the way you do it. You come up through the ranks and you do it the way they do it. If you don't do it their way, you ain't nothing. You ain't got nothing. Well, I guess if you don't have anything, you can come out here. Who do you think you are? I'm telling you, this is the kind of stuff that we suffered. Danny and I, for years, we suffered through. Religiously taught. Religion has its own propaganda, and it's just as deadly as the other. If it gets you into doing the works, your own works, then you might as well be working for the devil, because you really are. That's hard, isn't it? It's the Lord speaking to you here. It's by grace. And you know what? Usually it don't make sense. And everybody's going to say, well, you ain't doing it right. That's what the Pharisees did to Jesus. You ain't doing it right. But I'll tell you what, he had power, didn't he? And they had nothing. He said, you're just dead men's bones. You can have your old dead men's bones church. I don't care. I don't want that. I'd rather have what I got now and it'd be that way forever than to ever have any of that other. I hate it. God hates it too. Jesus hated it too. That's why he run the money changers out of the temple, merchandise and everything. That's what's brought one of our family members around. She is preaching to me. There's in there and there's a merchandising. They were. You know why sports teams are coming down? They became a god on the Lord's day. They took over. One of my confessions is, I will never be preempted by another sporting event ever again, or any other TV preachers. And for 24 hours every Sunday, every TV station, every radio station, every social media platform will give free airtime to ministers for 24 hours on that Sunday to bring the truth of the gospel free of charge. That's what I say. Pay money, I mean lots of money. And then if a tiddlywink doing this soccer team from, who knows, Timbuktu. I know, but I've been preempted with soccer. And just talk shows. No. God's had it with the works. They're going to all burn up. All those works, all those things that people have said because they didn't understand God's ways. Because you're not like us. You're nothing. Because you're not like us, then you just don't fit. Well, I'm just ready to not fit. I hadn't fit in my whole life. Well, I mean, why should I think I should now? I'm talking about against the establishment, and religion is an establishment. That swamp is being drained too. It's not going to be by your works, my works, or anybody else's works. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit. It'll be by the works of the Holy Spirit, by grace, for us to be able to execute it. Okay, Isaiah 29. I was telling Danny, I said, I do realize with the series that the Lord's having me teach that it really is for this time. I heard from Charlie, I was listening to Charlie Ward yesterday, and he was making the statement, these different things that they had spoken to him about, that the deep state were going to try to push and pull off, you know, about the COVID-19 and the 5G, and it seemed like he named some other things that's already passed, but only one's left, and that was the blue beam, the fake alien invasion. And, you know, you just think, I don't know why I said that. Let me get back on my train of thought here. I don't know why I said that. Okay, Lord. Oh, well, we'll go on. It just left. All right, Isaiah 29:16. I'm able to come back. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? You know, we want things to happen. We want God to do things, and we don't understand why things sometimes are the way they are. But God is doing a work. This is His work. Whatever God is putting you to do, it's His work in you. It's not your work. It's His work. And so you can only flow with Him. As the grace goes, so you go. Like I said, going out there trying to do stuff and trying to da-da-da-da-da, it was horrible. Hell on earth. I remember being in that membership class, and I remember it was a list that places you in places, and I'm not saying anything about what they did. I'm talking about me. I was the one. I pick up this sheet of paper, and I see, I feel like it's like Pirates of the Caribbean. It's like I see this dead skeleton hand. I just get this icky, dead feeling. It's like I picked up that skeleton hand. In other words, the Lord was saying, dead work. Not in that. The second time we went out there, getting close to the Christmas time, I kept saying, no room. No room in the inn. Thinking, God, sometimes I'm so dense, Lord. No room in the inn. If there's no room in the inn, leave. All right, Isaiah 45. We want to get up off of that altar and go accomplish something. We're tired of being here. Isn't that the truth? I just want to do something. I want to say something. Okay, Isaiah 45:9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, why makest thou? Or thy work hath no hands? Woe unto him that hath saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask of me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. He's saying, ask about my works. Ask about them, and I'll tell you about them, but don't just go out and do your own thing. It's what everybody else does. I've made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I've raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. There's a difference between a work of God and a work of the flesh. Because a work of the flesh is going to capitalize on that. One of the four horsemen, the black one, is capitalism. Capitalizing. No grace, God. People will benefit from that. The love of God. Okay, Joyce Meyer, she used to say, why, God, why? When, God, when? She even had a book. She said, it'd just be so hard. Here I was having to believe God for a frying pan, dishcloths. And she said, my friend comes over, her husband had bought her a fur coat. After she left, she said, I just threw myself across the bed, you know, just having a flesh fit. Lord, I want one of those. You knew I want one of those. And you brought her over here and she just... just rubbed it in my face. Yeah, them sacrifices. It's them living sacrifices sometimes, you know. But he can't do anything with a dead one. I mean, you're dead, but your life is here with Christ and God. Your flesh life, that's the part that's dead. What you are in God's what's alive. Okay? He's quickening your mortal body to do his works, not to do works of the flesh. Okay, I can just see Joyce Meyer doing that. Romans 9, verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. We're all in different places. God has placed us in different places in the body. One may be more honorable than the other, but it's still God's work. Whatever. You know, that's just something we have to reckon with. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. So what he's talking about here is it's not no longer just the Jews, but it's us that's been grafted in. Quit saying, well, you're not a Jew. You know, you're not worth anything. We're God's chosen people, which that's been used in a wrong way, definitely. So, no, it's about God. Thank God he has gotten his say because men just mess it up. We see that men have questioned God all throughout history. We must get out of the way and let God do his will and his plan. Do it his way. All right, Isaiah 55. It grieves me so much of the church is so full of making money. Right here, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. But ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This sounds like the millennial reign to me. I don't know if it is or not, but it's a new way. It's a way that doesn't cost anything. Come ye buy and eat without money. Freely ye have received, freely give. This is what Nacera is going to do for a lot of people. The biggest thing about Nacera is the humanitarian projects. That's helping humanity. That's helping people where they are and where they need it. Coming out of places because you are abundantly supplied. Now you can freely help others. Doesn't that sound like heaven on earth? Yeah, it does. God has a clear plan free from the toil of man. We have to trust the plan whether we understand it or not. We probably won't understand it, but it's up to us to shut up and let the Lord do the work in us he needs to for us to do to be part of his plan. It's just like me thinking, well, it had to be this way because that's the only way I knew because it had been crammed down our throats. This is the way you were to do it. If you didn't go to seminary or cemetery, then you had to come up under somebody. And no, the Bible way is like Paul's way. Backside of the desert, 14 years. Yeah. God has a clear plan. It's just getting our, forsaking our thoughts, the wicked man his thoughts, and returning to the Lord. What it's about. That's what the millennial reign of Christ is going to be about. Men are going to forsake their way of thinking, their evil thoughts, and they're going to learn the ways of the Lord. Because all they know now and all they've known for centuries has been the ways of the devil. Or institute of religion, which is the devil. Like it or not, it's the truth. Okay. God is not judging you, but remaking you from the inside out. Some of you are crying out about the outside things, but the work must be done on the inside first. For if it wasn't you, you wouldn't be able to maintain the outside. See, if you don't let God work on the inside, it's like Amber said, renew the mind, renew the man. If you don't work, let him work on the inside, you would not be able to maintain on the outside without the work on the inside. There's character. Character goes with whatever God's called you to do. He'll work that in you first before he'll let you loose to do anything of significance. If it's going to hurt people, you know, he wants you to help people, not hurt people. Okay. The work must be done on the inside first, for if it wasn't, you would not be able to maintain the outside. Inside done, outside done. Like the words that I gave you that Amber said. So we have presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, so we have to lay down on the altar and allow God to work, and if he wants our input, he will let us know. You're dead, remember. Your life is here with Christ and God. We're seated with him in heavenly places. I've told Danny many times, you don't have to ask the Lord. You don't have to keep asking the Lord. With me, he tells me what he wants me to do. I don't have to ask. And so I've just kind of gotten to where that I won't say I never ask anything. Sometimes I'll ask for wisdom about something, but really, you know, you can pretty well be assured when all this going on, should I buy gold? Should I buy silver? Didn't I give my money out of the bank? All this mess going on. If it's that important, wouldn't the Lord have said something? Isn't that the way we are, though? Well, they said, you know, it's just that kind of stuff going on all the time. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? That's the way it is. It's the way, man, that's the way flesh acts. Just getting in angst about everything. No more religious or churchy thinking, for it will bring us under the law, and with that comes condemnation. Romans 8, 1 and 2. We'll read it. I've gotten to where I don't care how good they are, how much they know. If they start that fear-mongering stuff, I'll just go somewhere else. I'm not going to listen to it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we're supposed to not worry about our life. Matthew 6:25 says that, not to worry about our lives. It's not our job to fix ourselves. Our works just get in the way of progress. They get in the way of God's plan. Grace, God's grace will do and finish the work in us. Philippians 1:6, this is a great scripture. It says here, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We need to quit acting like we have to keep reminding him because he's old and, you know, and he might forget. No, God's not that way. He's the Ancient of Days, but he's not senile or decrepit in any way. He's got it all under control. He knows just when to tell you to do this or to do that, or when to step out here or step out there. He knows. Time to stop struggling and stay on that altar. Time to stop tormenting ourselves trying to figure out everything. That's probably the biggest problem right here. I'm just so glad the Lord spoke to me about that, because it's like it cleared up the confusion, gave me peace to where I never have to give that another thought. I don't know why it took me so long to figure it out. But you get this thinking in your mind that's going to be a certain way. All right, time to start tormenting yourselves, trying to figure everything out. God has a good plan ready, laid out for us. Paul said this, and it is quite an achievement. 1 Timothy 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therefore therewith content. I would like to take a look at a character from the Bible today. This is Genesis 22. And then we're going to be done. You know, when you get a hold of the love that God has for us and how He is controlling the plan and He's implementing the plan and you're just following the shepherd, you can come to that place of contentment. You're just not rattled about anything. All right, Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Well, that lost 99.9% right there. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord is my provider. All right, let's go to Genesis 26. Verse 1. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. The Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Then verse 12, Then Isaac sowed seed in that land, received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possessions of flocks, in possessions of herds and great stores of servants, and the Philistines envied him. So we see here in the life of Abraham and Isaac, those that followed God, even when it didn't make sense, and even when you thought, you know, he was going to have to kill his own son. Very extreme. It seems those that will present themselves as a living sacrifice stay on the altar, giving up their own life, their own way, and following the Lord, listening to his instruction, are the ones that truly reign as kings in life. You see, he saw how his father obeyed, and he obeyed. Look what happened. The known world around him envied him. Here he stayed put where the famine was going on, sowed his seed. Look what happened. He got the harvest that he shouldn't be getting, even in famine. God did it. God supplied him. It's important we stay on the altar. Let God finish the work. Follow him. Don't step out. Independent. Yeah.